Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the sky!
Good evening from here in the UK, just outside London. My name is Elliot Kay, and this is Strategic Breakthrough Radio, and I'm here every 2 weeks bringing you the latest strategy, the latest tips, the latest celebrities, strategic mind wizards. I'm going to bring you the lot, and I'm really, really rather excited about this show, because I don't know about you, but, you know, social media is embedded in our lives. And in most of our lives. And, you know, every couple of weeks I bring on a great guest. And this week's guest is an incredible young lady. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about her in a minute. But what you will want to do is you will want to grab a pen and paper and you want to listen to what this young lady has to say. You know, so many times people come across your path, and I don't know about you, but, you know, you meet a lot of people that say a lot of stuff, and they might say they'll do something, and then you see them a year later, and they haven't done anything. I'm a strategist. I work with businesses, coaches, trainers, speakers, and I help them build businesses strategically. And I remember this young lady coming along, and she attended one of my seminars, and we kind of spoke a little bit at the end of the seminar. But then she popped up again, and she said, you know what? I am going to leave my job. I don't know how. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to leave my job. I'm like, okay, we connected a bit more. And then she came to one of my strategy seminars, and she sat there and she said, you know what, I'm going to focus on doing it on social media. She started to do it on Periscope. She's since expanded. So I'm going to introduce the guest. So she's the founder of Perry 10K, and she's a live streaming expert. And I would go as far as to say she's a live streaming celebrity. So on this show, on Strategic Breakthrough Radio, I have a celebrity, my first celebrity, and I know this not because she told me. I know this because I went to a recent event with her, and everybody was like, oh, my God, you're Katya? Oh, my God, you're... And I was like, okay. I felt really insignificant because it's not my world, not because I'm not important. And she's literally built up a whole business online through streaming. She left her job as an executive assistant. She corrected me because I called her a PA, and she's not a PA. She's an EA, or she was an EA. And I am just so inspired by this young lady because she's a doer. She takes action. What she says she does. But, you know, what's important more than anything is she really, really cares about what she does. She's fantastic. If you wanna snap her, tweet her, Facebook her, her handle is @livestreamkatya. Mine is @LUKPTS if you want to tweet us any questions, and later on I'll give the number to dial in. But I think I've built her up enough. Let's introduce her. Let's welcome to our show, Katya. Good evening.
Good evening, Elliot. My goodness, that intro, it was incredible. First of all, thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited and looking forward to getting lots of value to your audience tonight.
Oh, I have no doubt that you'll do that. And you know, when I was thinking who I wanted on the show, it was just a no-brainer. I've seen you grow. I've seen you in the last 2 years just become this force of online streamingness. You're like an online superhero. You kind of metamorphosize into this powerhouse, which has been fantastic to see. So do you want to just give a little bit in your own words before you were doing this, what was going on for you?
Yeah, of course. So I came over to the UK about 6-7 years ago now to study law, because my dream ultimately was to be a lawyer. And through that, my law degree, I discovered that I was a little bit too rebellious and creative to even make a good lawyer. So I decided to go into something else, but I wasn't sure what. And eventually I just fell into banking because it was a very natural progression. It was something that I was quite good with customers, and it was making quite good money. So I got into banking. I went to banking between 2013 and 2015. And I remember that I moved to London. I moved to London because I got the job as an executive assistant, and I felt incredible. I absolutely loved the job when I was working as an executive assistant. At the time, I was working for the managing director of one of the biggest banks in the world, and he was managing over 12,000 people. So I was managing some of the big projects going on for that retail network, and it was super, super exciting. I did enjoy doing that job. But after maybe about 6 or 7 months into the job, I started getting really dragged into the bureaucracy and realizing that sometimes a simple decision takes literally months to be done, and that was really killing me. I couldn't understand why things couldn't move fast. So that's pretty much when I went to your event, Elliot. I went to Power to Succeed, and I was just meeting all these wonderful people doing great things in the world, and you know, being very happy. And it just made me realize, why can I not do something similar that isn't going to require me to do what an employer is asking me to do? And at that time, through my head, what was happening was I wasn't miserable. I was really bored. I felt my creativity was completely stripped away. And that's why I was really struggling at work. I was struggling, and even though I was doing well job-wise and it wasn't disappointing, I was struggling really, really inside. And that's when I discovered Periscope, pretty much. And that's when everything started, Elliot. And you know the rest of the story. But yeah, yes. At the time I was just incredibly bored.
So are you telling me that being an executive association in a bank had bureaucracy? Surely not. A bank doesn't have any bureaucracy.
I mean, come on.
We're talking about the banking industry. Surely it's all plain sailing. Wait, I guess not. Because I know you're very expressive and you wear your heart on your sleeve, which is fantastic. And we're going to go through, you know, the show. We're going to listen to the latest trends. We're going to go through all the platforms, which is your expertise. But what was it specifically about, you know, it started off with with Periscope, and then you founded Peri 10K. What was it about Periscope that appealed to you so much? Why? What was it about it?
So here's what happened. I was, I'm a big fan of The Bachelor. So if any U.S., you know, all the people in the USA will know The Bachelor show. It's like the most ridiculous show on the planet, but it's so entertaining. And I was reading Melody Steve's blog. He's the guy that spoils the show, if you want to say that way. And he was talking about this app, Periscope, for ages. Like, he was rambling on about this Periscope app. And I was like, what is this Periscope app? I want to look into that Periscope app. So I downloaded the app, and I was observing what people were doing for ages. And I just had to stumble across a lot of marketers on Periscope, and I saw how they were making so much money by just having a conversation. And then that's when I just thought, gosh, this is such a genius platform. You can literally build a audience of people on this platform, run by Twitter, and you can get loads of people, and you can just take them to your website or whatever. So the more I watched, the more I got dragged into the app. So at the beginning, I really didn't know what I was going to do with it because I was really scared to broadcast. But one day, a broadcaster pulled me aside and said, you got to go live right now. So she literally forced me into going live. And you asked me, what was it really that excited about? Here's what it was. When I was a kid, I had a dream of having a YouTube channel and making videos on the internet, but I was too scared that other people were going to judge me. They were going to say I looked too fat, or I looked too ugly, or you know, my voice was annoying. I used to hate my voice before Periscope. And that was a big fear that I came that day, but once I did, I actually really loved it. It felt like, oh my gosh, here's that little kid's dream that I had for videos now being realized. And it actually isn't that bad. So that's what it was really special about it. Really, really special.
Wow, okay. So you pick up Periscope. and you go on your first broadcast. And tell us a little bit about how did you go from, you know, okay, here's a tool where, you know, I mean, even if we look at Facebook Live, where a lot of people can be very annoying because they just sit there feeding their cats and eating biscuits and think that the world wants to watch them, right? How did you go from, oh my God, this is a great tool, to actually, and I know it's a process, you know, it doesn't happen overnight, but how did you go from that to building a business from it?
Yeah. So here's how it happened. I'll try to give you a very short summary. So I was broadcasting at the time about all kinds of random stuff. Like I would broadcast about Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, or talk about positivity, or you know, something inspirational. Because at the time I was into all these personal development seminars, of course. So.
Yeah.
I remember that I just didn't have any clarity, but I knew that I wanted to build an audience, a platform, because I saw the potential of it. But I was struggling to build it because I was like, hey, there's all these big broadcasters with thousands of followers. If we all actually supported each other, if we all shared each other's followers, we would grow really quickly. But at the time, there weren't many communities. In fact, when I started 13K, I think it was only one community, and they were not doing what I wanted to create. So I thought, why don't I just create it? So I got on Periscope one day and said, I want to start a mastermind. Please help me name it. And I had loads of people come on broadcast and just give me lots of ideas for names. And out of that one broadcast, Peri Tech was born as a concept. And then literally on that same broadcast, I created a super group. The first 10 people joined literally that same night. It was quickly. So what happened was I created this Peri Tech without any expectation whatsoever. I did not, like, I didn't create and be like, oh, I'm going to make this, I'm going to freeze this, I'm going to make lots of money. Like, none of that stuff. I created it because I wanted to go, and I know that the best way to grow on any platform is through platform.
You just broke up there a little bit, Katya. So what was that last question?
All I did was bring collaboration to the table through the Periscope app, because everybody on the Periscope to grow, I know that the best way to do it is through working with other people. So what I did wasn't anything like innovative, whatever. I just happened to attract really cool people who then brought even more key people, who then brought in more people. And then within the first week, the community grew so fast that it was like almost so overwhelming. I cannot do this on top of my 9-to-5. And at that moment, here goes from a hobby to a business. At that moment, I was at a crossroads where I decided either to completely get rid of Peri Tech and just go back to my day job and forget about me, or I had to find a way to get financially viable to do. Even part-time, I wasn't even trying to quit my job through it, just to make some income from it. And that's where the idea for why don't we introduce membership fees came from. So with the membership fee, I added lots of new benefits that weren't available for the free members. And I just put it out there and said, hey, if you want to join our community, here's a membership fee. And the reason it went so successful and the reason we grew so through that was because I already had like 150 members who were great advocates for it. So these people have already been talking on social about it, and people were so excited. I announced the monthly fee, and when I was introducing people, they were actually excited to pay to join. And within the first 60 days, we got around 60 members, and literally 60 days of getting the first member, I was at a point where I was like, oh, this thing just matched my income. Like, this thing just matched my full-time job income. And that's the moment that I decide, well, if I can do this part-time and get to that level, imagine what I can achieve if I quit my job. And I just decided to take a risk. I had some savings that I live off, so I was like, hey. So I just want everyone listening to this just to know that I wasn't a crazy, risky person. I had savings. I had things that could survive me for at least a couple of months. Something bad happened. And also, I was living with my partner at the time, so if anything bad could happen, we had each other. So it was a very calculated decision. It came the right time, and it was a great opportunity. And that's how it went from a hobby to a full-fledged business. And you've been at the beginning.
Okay, wow, what an interesting transition. We might have our first caller here, Katya. I'm not sure.
Yeah?
Let's see. Someone dialed in. I'm going to see if they are live. Let's see. If not, you know, so if you've just called in, I'm coming to you. Please keep it clean. Here we go. Let's see. If they're still there. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hello. Who's this?
I'm Jason from the USA. How are you?
Hi, Jason. Thanks for dialing. Do you have a question for Katya?
Well, this is my first time on your show, and I also have an online radio show myself on said Blog Talk Radio. How you doing, Katya?
Hi, good to see you. I can't see you, but I can hear you. So good to hear you.
What's your question, Jason?
Well, my question is, how did you get from taking the risk to getting paid online?
How did you get from taking a risk
to making money online? How is it possible to getting whatever you want online, like cash wise?
Yeah, gotcha.
I think
so how did you monetize the business? How did you start to make money from Perry 10K? I think you've tapped on the membership, but are you asking generally, Jason, just online, or do you mean what Katya's been doing?
Oh, awesome, awesome. And how did you get started in this and why?
Go for it, Katya. I think you've explained,
well,
but go again.
Well, I already... So, as I said, how I got started was I was on Periscope and I just saw the opportunity for it. I started because I really wanted a community that would support me to grow and I would support them to grow. Why I started it was more for connection with people rather than for a business, but it just evolved into a business. So the reason why it started ended up being completely different to why it is today. It's completely different because when I started, it was only there for me to have community support me, and now it's involved into this organization that supports other live streamers throughout the world.
Brilliant. That's
so
what I did it. Go on, Jason. One more question.
So what you're saying is it's like a pay it forward kind of thing, correct?
Yeah, it's kind of, that's how it evolved. That's how it evolved into.
So let me come in here as well, Jason, and also, yes, pay it forward, but it's also coming from the angle of adding huge value to people, and as a result of that, people wanted to be part of the Perry 10K community. So it's always coming from an aspect of adding huge value to your market. Does that help?
Yeah, pretty much.
Cool. Listen, I'm here every 2 weeks. Listen, if you want to tweet Katya or, you know, send her a message, her handle is @livestreamkatya. And if you ever want to tweet me or ask me a question, it's @ElliotKPTS, as in power to succeed. Jason, thanks for calling in. Have a good evening.
You got it. Thank you, sir.
Take care. Bye-bye. There you go, Katya, my first caller, and it was on your show. I think a lot of the listeners will want to know this. And by the way, if anyone else wants to dial in or wants to ask a question, if you're in North America, please call 646-716-7979. That's 646-716-7979. Or you can tweet me a question @ElliotKPTS, power to succeed, PTS, Elliot K. Or you can tweet Katya direct at Livestream Katya. So Katya, let's talk about this because I know a lot of the listeners want to hear this. How are some of the ways to monetize the likes of Periscope? I know you've recently gone to YouTube. You know, you're a bit of an expert in this area. So how can people actually make money and not just have a lot of followers?
Of course, of course. So there's a couple of different strategies how you can actually use live streaming to, whether it's build a business or whether it's to make money through it. And I'll just give you a couple of different examples how I've done it, how others have done it. So the simplest way, well, not the simplest, it's not at all, but one way that a lot of people use live streaming to monetize is by broadcasting streaming about a very niche topic, and then building a really niche audience that is interested in that topic, and then reaching brands who would want to sponsor those, would want to sponsor their broadcast, or they work with brands to create content for them. So it's kind of like the likes of, you know, big YouTubers would grow a big audience, or big Periscopes would grow a big audience, and it would be a very niche audience, and the brands would want to do that because the brand getting very clever, and they know influencer marketing works really, really well. Brands know that influencer marketing is probably one of the greatest ways to influence the target market that they're looking for. The greatest way is to tap into their ideal mind without being salesy. And they're recognizing that it's paying a lot of people who have audiences. So ways that I can make money from Periscope, you can make money from Periscope, Facebook Live, or these platforms, is build an audience, topic, and then reach out to brands to reach out. And they will pay you to actually, for you to build their brand or for you to do something for them. So that's number one.
So do you want to just recap the key points? So you said...
Yep.
Build an audience, niche.
Build
niche
an audience, niche the audience. Yep, niche the audience. So that it's so that you can go very to the brand and say, my audience is interested in health and fitness, for example. Or for example, my audience is usually entertainment and motivation. So I do very entertaining, but also motivational. And my audience can be very entrepreneurial, like. Entrepreneurs tend to be very attracted to me, and I can go to a brand and say, hey, I attract a lot of entrepreneurs. I know you want to reach out a lot of entrepreneurs. Let's partner up. So
okay.
that's the one way to make money. Right? The second way that I made money at the beginning was by selling your products and services. So going on Periscope and live stream allows you to build know, like, and trust with people watching you. When they know you, like you, and trust you, it's easier to offer them your products and services. So when I was offering Perry 10K as a business-to-consumer product, like it was a consumer product, not a B2B where I teed up. It was a proper B2C product. And that's what I was offering. And the people that were liking me, you know, trusting me from these broadcasts, they were easily to before I even mentioned the price. They were just there and they knew that they wanted to be part of it. And that's the second way. So to recap, selling your products and service through an audience on my platforms like Facebook Live, like Periscope, Buster, and way reaching a more audience. It's like people pay for advertising on Facebook. People pay for ads on Google. Instead of paying for that, go on Periscope and just what you have. It's the same thing. It's just you don't pay.
Okay.
So that's the second way. And then the third way I wanted to mention of making money, really, is by selling other people's services. I mean, what to stop you building an audience, doing an affiliate. So my friend Alex Kahn, he does it well, where he does a lot of Periscope tips. And whenever the company out there that would do products for Lightning, he is the first person that they go to for, to partner up with him and do some affiliate sales. So he doesn't have to even sell his office and services. He can sell other people's products and services. Those are the three most ones. Are there any other ways? Yes, of course. I mean, you can sell live streams. Like you could say, hey, I will do a live stream with you for $100. Just pay $100 and we will do a broadcast. That's another way okay, how you can directly make my streaming. And then eventually, and for everybody watching, this is the excitement. Eventually, Periscope allows you to get ads revenue, the same thing that YouTube does. So how you can make money on YouTube through advertising, that's the same way you will be able to make money on Scope eventually. So, my God, there are so many different ways to make money, Elliot.
It sounds like what we need is Katya's Guide to Making Money Online. So when's the book coming out?
Well, I have one already. I have a first book. Oh, you mean big one, like the real book?
Yes, as in Katya's Guide to Making Money Online. I just gave you the title. I mean, come on, now all you
Katya's
need to do is go
Guide
buy the book.
To Making Money Online.
There you
Katya,
go.
Yeah. If that book comes out, then this can be all tracked down now from where it all began.
Exactly. So there you go. No, but you're right, and there's so many ways. And you know what? There's so many different platforms that are up and coming. You know, it wasn't until, I don't know, 12 months ago that Snapchat was still about teenagers sending each other pictures. That shifted. What's the new one? Buskers come out. There's Periscope. There's Facebook Live, which are now very close to doing what Blab used to do. Tell me, you know, for someone, I mean, I know from a strategy point of view, each social media or streaming platform has a different audience and a different target audience. It's used for different reasons. So if we went through them one by one, would you be able to give us your advantages and disadvantages for each?
Of course. Yeah. First, the platform doesn't matter. Don't get too attached to the platform. What you need to get attached to is the attention, where people are watching, where people are observing. So I'm going to give you the platform, and I'll share with you the pros and cons. But just what you need to know that just because some platform is better at this than the other doesn't mean it's going to be the better app for you. All right?
Okay, so let's start with, good. And just so you know, you're kind of tittering in and out a little bit of reception, so I'm going to ask you to repeat things a little bit. Let's start with the notorious, the biggest boy in the yard, so Facebook Live. What are the advantages to Facebook Live?
Okay, so here's the advantages of Facebook Live. Facebook, first of all, it's easy. You just get the mobile out there on your phone, you go live. The advantage there is every Facebook, you have billions of people there, and there's going to be more coming. Another advantage is that once you do a live stream on your business page or personal page, then links can stay there forever. So you usually go back and respond to people. So that's a very good benefit. Another thing for all these owners.
I'm going to pause you there.
Yeah.
Can I ask you to maybe dial out and dial in because you're really choppy? And I know what you're saying is going to add huge value. So I don't want people to miss. So if you could just hang up and redial, and I might even let you back on the show. I'm not sure.
Sure.
But, you know,
so do I just
in the meantime,
end
you
call?
Guys have to make do with me talking. So yeah, if you could dial in and dial out again, that would be awesome. So we'll have Katya back in a second. But isn't it amazing? And again, if you want to dial in and ask the question directly, it's 646-716-7979. But it is like a sea out there. And I know we use different platforms. So I know we use Facebook. We use Facebook a lot for advertising. I started using Snapchat for brand extension and for people to kind of connect with me. I use Twitter for my strategy stuff. And it can be really overwhelming. And some of the strategies that we really have to look at is, like Katya mentioned, is what is the right platform for you? And what I really like what she said there is not to get too attached to the platform, but to look at where the buzz is, to look at where the audience is. Katya, you're back with us?
Awesome. How is that? Is that better?
That is better. Oh, my God. I can hear your voice. Awesome. So.
Oh, yes. Awesome. So let's start from scratch, from Facebook.
Yeah, so you mentioned billions of people, you mentioned it's going to grow, it's easy, it's instant to your mobile, you just pick it up to do it. You see, I can hear amongst that, you know, I'm highly trained, but, you know, what else would you add to that?
Well, I would say that if you have a really good business page, meaning you have like 10,000 plus more fans, that will help you create a really, really good connection with your existing fans on Facebook. So Facebook is absolutely fabulous for nurturing your existing audience. Absolutely fabulous. If you have a big page, if you're listening, and if you have a big business page, not only you can reach that audience, but you can also use those Facebook Lives and boost the posts and reach more people. So you can even use that video as an ad, which is really cool. Now, there are some disadvantages for that. Mainly if you're a video on Facebook and you have a big business page, it's going to take you pretty much forever to build that business page because there is no discoverability on Facebook. Facebook wasn't built to be discovered. Facebook was built to connect with your friends, and if you want to be discovered, you got to pay for it. That's what Facebook has become.
And to show pictures of cats. That's why
pictures
Facebook
of cats, pictures, you know, pranks. It's become this place to laugh and to connect with our friends. So it's definitely, I don't think when people are scrolling down the feed, they're in the mood of learning about stuff. Like, you know, when they're scrolling down the feed and they see, oh, there's someone talking and teaching something, they're not really in the mood of listening to a 20-minute talk. What they're really in the mood for is, as you said, just looking at some quick cats. So the attention span on Facebook, in my opinion, isn't really great. But here's the other disadvantage, like even some technical stuff, like Facebook has a delay of about 20 seconds, meaning that when you say something on a Facebook Live and then your people comment, you will see their comments in about 20 seconds and they will hear what you say in 20 seconds. So by the time you've asked a question and by the time they've responded, you've often moved on to the next thing. So it's not an instant connection. And believe me when I say this, in today's world, instant gratification, 1 second is what people expect. And if you don't respond to them, sometimes they can get really annoyed. So that's some of the things that I don't like about
Facebook. That's why no one sticks around my stream. That's why on Facebook no one watches me. That's what it is. I get it.
Yeah.
So I just need to be quiet for 20 seconds. Gotcha. Okay. So that's a disadvantage. And so that's Facebook. Let's move to your favorite, Peri 10K, Periscope. What's the advantage for Periscope?
So the advantages of Periscope are completely the opposite. It's the discoverability. It's like Twitter. Twitter, anyone can tweet you. You can tweet anyone. You can discover anyone's tweet. Periscope is the exact same way. Discoverability is amazing because Periscope wants to show your broadcast to as many people as possible. So if you're a brand new person like I was a year ago, I had zero social media following, and now I've built over 20,000 people on different platforms. It was very easy for me to build an audience of 20,000 people because of that discoverability, because of that sharing capability. On Facebook, sharing someone's video doesn't mean that they're going to get notifications. On Periscope, when someone shares your video, all their followers get a notification that you're live, which means that you get discovered so well. And that's what I like about it, that you get new people joining you all the time. Another benefit is the delay is non-existent. The response is so quick. The moment you say something is the moment people comment, and that is absolutely invaluable when it comes to live streaming. I mean, that is the real definition of live streaming, and I love that about Periscope. I also love the fact that it has actually created a community. People that were on Periscope from the very beginning actually do feel like they feel like they're part of something new, because Periscope was the very first app that introduced live streaming as we know it today. It was the very first app that actually grew the way it did, and it's just incredible, and people feel like they're part of something. So that's why you end up feeling more like on Facebook, nobody ever considers Facebook as a live streaming platform. It's not a live stream platform. It's just a social network that happens to do live streaming. While Periscope was built as a live stream platform, and that's what people expect to see.
Let me ask you this. It just came to me as you were talking. We're going to carry on with the other one. I think we're going to talk Busker. We're going to talk Snapchat. Are we going to go through those?
Yeah.
I just want to ask you a quick question. Do you think that social media and live streaming is making us unsociable and less connected as human beings?
Not at all. I don't think so at all, because social media's purpose isn't to replace human interaction. Social media's purpose is to connect you with the people that you wouldn't usually connect. So, the truth be told, I do business, 70% of my members and clients comes from the U.S.
Yep.
If it wasn't for social media... Sorry?
And they're great. We love them.
And they're
we
great.
Them.
Absolutely fabulous. And those people, some of them have become my family. Some of them have become my friends, which I wouldn't have been able to connect to. Think of all the families that live far from each other. My mom and dad live in Bulgaria still, which is where mm-hmm. I grew up. So if it wasn't for social media, how would I be able to communicate with my mom and dad in such an easy, convenient way? So to me, social media has connected the world much better, okay? Mm. And here's the thing, it's a wonderful question. Here's the thing that I believe also. I believe that we all have a choice to structure our days to not spend every single minute on social media. I think we all have a choice to put in our calendars these networking events and these dinners with our friends or this yoga class. So we all have the responsibility to make an effort to connect with the people. So I do believe that it's created a more positive change. And I think it's going to become even a bigger part of our lives in the next 10 years.
Oh, without a doubt. I do think we're moving far more into the kind of exactly what we're talking about. I think it's going to get bigger and better. Absolutely. I agree with you. If you've got a question for Katya, feel free to dial in. It's 646 if you're in America, the U.S., 716-7979. And of course, if you want to tweet us a question, by all means, please do. I have plenty of questions, so don't you worry about that. So let's carry on. So let's talk about Busker's the new kid on the block, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the advantages and disadvantages of Busker? Because I know Busker you can schedule. You can get tips as well. So people can actually tip you for whatever you decide to do. What else are the advantages? I guess you build a following, a very loyal following.
Yeah.
What else? Because you've been using Busker for a while now.
Yes. I've been partnering with Busker as well. They've been doing some wonderful things. So Busker is literally just introduced their payment platform where you can sell your products and services through Stripe. As long as you have a Stripe account, you can create one. It's free. You can actually connect that Stripe account to your Busker, and you can add a physical or an intangible service product on your Busker account. So every time you go live, people can click a button and buy that product or service from you without leaving the mobile app. Now, that's I think that is the most genius thing, because there's so many people that can come and listen to the radio show and say, oh, I'm going to connect with this girl, Katya, right after. And then they go on and move on with their lives and they forget. Well, with the Busker app, you have the advantages that they're there and then, they buy the product, they buy the one-on-one coaching with you, whatever it is, and then they're bound to work with you. And they will work with you that way. So it kind of takes away the sales barrier, which is, oh, I got to get off the app, go to the browser, type in the link, and buy the thing. You know, it removes a few extra clicks, which, for people's attention span, sometimes can make a big difference. So that's the biggest advantage of Busker. And here's another thing I love about Busker. Busker is very new. I still haven't advertised much yet. So everything that is grown on Busker is all word of mouth. Everything is word of mouth on Busker, which means that right now the feeling is very community feel. And once they start advertising, if you jump on early on the Busker app as an early adopter, once they start advertising, you will have the opportunity to grasp some of that audience by being one of the early people. It's kind of like Gary Vee is one of the first people that grabbed on Snapchat, and everybody follows. He's one of the first people to be there, and it's why he's still in the massive following. So early adopters always have an early advantage, and that's the beauty of it, that right now it's still in very early stage. It hasn't been mastered yet whatsoever. So great opportunities there for you guys. To jump on.
So, okay, well, I downloaded the app about 2 months ago and haven't been on it once, so I better get my finger out and jump on Busker. Because I was there at the event where the CEO was speaking, and I found it fascinating. But I haven't done anything with it. So, naughty me. So you have permission next time we see each other to give me a slap on the wrist. But I will jump on Busker and start busking my strategy. You know, I'll do my strategy songs and things like that. No, I won't sing. So tell me, Snapchat, right? There's so many conflicting opinions about Snapchat because it still carries that reputation of teenage boys and girls sending each other pictures. I know it's moved on. But
disadvantages
of Snapchat. Even my wife, she's like, oh my God, are you on Snapchat? I'm like, yeah. It's brand extension, babe. And she's like, whatever. Yeah.
So I mean, come on. Let's tell us about that. Of course. I mean, first of all, come on, guys. It's no longer the place to send those nasty pics, okay? It's no longer these nude places. Maybe it was in 2013, but the moment they introduced the story feature, which is where what made Snapchat what it is today, that's the moment Snapchat became a storytelling platform, okay? And then this is nothing new. The only reason there are conflicting... Here's the thing. I speak to a lot of people, and obviously I help a lot of people with this. The only reason there are conflicting opinions about any app out there, about any platform out there, is either because they haven't tried it and they just told what they've heard, or they've tried it but they actually haven't given it a chance, being like, oh, I'm just going to try this for a month, and if it doesn't work, I'm just going to jet off. So social media doesn't work like that. Social media takes time. So Snapchat, like any other platform, if you just ponder there for a month, nothing's going to happen. So I don't encourage anyone to go on any platform and expect quick results. So firstly,
do you mean to say that I can't post one thing and be an overnight viral success? Is that what you're saying?
Well, Elliot, maybe you can. You're like extra good looking, and you know you're very charming and stuff.
You're such a
charmer. You're sad. But 99.999% of the people, Elliot. I'm gonna be able to do that.
Me.
I'm so smooth. I'm so smooth. I know.
Yeah.
But Snapchat is a great brand builder. Okay. So if I could label all these platforms with a different strengths, Periscope is your audience builder. Mm-hmm. Facebook is your audience nurturer. Buzz is your online shop. Snapchat is your brand builder. It's where you can build a brand because people get to see the story of your life. It's where people, it's what they call personality-based marketing. Have you heard of the phrase personality-based marketing, where all you do is be yourself online very vocally and then you attract other people who are like you or want to be like you? And those people want to be like you and they buy from you. And that's what Snapchat is great for. So when people talk about ROI and stuff, I just want to like shoot myself because I'm like, what are you talking about? ROI? Can you calculate the ROI of your Twitter account? Excuse me, I don't think you can. I don't think I can calculate the ROI of my Periscope. So Snapchat is a great brand building to do this types of personality based marketing that is pretty much one of the most powerful things because people buy from
people.
Exactly.
But does that mean, you see, the problem with personality based marketing is you need a personality and not everyone has one. There's a challenge there. No, I'm kidding. Everyone has a personality. It's whether we
everyone
like it
has a story. Everyone has a story. Okay.
And it doesn't even have to be your story. And that's what's interesting, because when I watch some of the big snappers, you know, they're not telling their story every day. They're telling a story. And the
that's true.
The people to do the best are the ones
that
make
true.
It fun, accessible, and interactive. Is that about right?
That's about right. You don't have to say your story, as you said. You can say the story of Martin Luther King, you know? You can say the story of Gary Vee or whoever has this people.
Yeah.
I know people who are obsessed with reading other people's biographies. Great thing to share if you've ever read one.
You broke up a little bit at the end there. Did you want to repeat the last sentences?
people buy biography books all the time. When if you ever if you're one of these people that likes to read other people's lives, then it's a great thing to share what you've just learned about that person on a platform like Snapchat, because it will inspire and it will grow your influence as well.
Okay. So really fantastic stuff. I can't, oh my God, I'm so happy I got you on. And it just shows what an expert you are in your field. Let me ask you this question. We're coming up to 15 minutes towards the end of the show. I know it's very sad. So we'll have to invite you on again in a few months and you can tell us about your progress. But look, you know, it's all very well, and a lot of people make this assumption, but, you know, Katya's so outgoing, she's so cool, you know. But what about if you hate the camera? Like, what would you say to people that hate the camera? They might have a great business, but they can't get in front of camera. What would you say to people like that?
Well, firstly, I used to have that fear, so I think I feel very qualified to talk to people like that. As I told you, I was very afraid of being judged. I was very afraid that something bad's gonna happen. I was very afraid of the backlash, and just being visible was very scary for me for so many years. I was very good on stage, but I could never get a camera because for some reason it's so much worse. What I would say to my younger self now is get over yourself. You're an adult. Nothing bad's going to happen to you. You are going to go live on a camera, and the people are going to be on the other side of the world. They cannot touch you. They cannot go through the camera and grab your neck and, like, suffocate you. They can't
yet.
Do anything to you. They can't do anything to you. And even if someone came in and did a nasty comment and someone, like, wrote something inappropriate on your broadcast, so what? Just block them. No big deal. And that's what I would tell myself when I was younger. Now, I know that not everybody has the self-confidence to overcome that, because there's maybe a certain level of self-confidence. But if you're really, 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 really shy and, like, you absolutely hate it, you cannot stand it, then you have two options. Either you have to practice for as long so that you can love it. One example, Elliot, I'm sure you can share your story of working with Alex, who had an absolute fear of public speaking, and how he overcame that in under a month, and he became the guy that won the €1 million deal. You can share that on another story. And he was, and that's a person that is, like, he was probably one of the most scared people that you have ever worked with. So if you're one of those people that does not see yourself on camera, then you have two options. Either you practice for as long as you can until you like it, or you just don't go visible and you just hide, or you go writing. If that's your strength, just go write. Do I think everyone should be on camera? Yes. Do I think everyone will be on camera? No. Okay? I don't think everyone will be on camera, because it won't be right for everybody. But I think that if everybody was on camera, everybody would be more self-confident, as they wouldn't let other people affect them as much. I think camera has made me a better speaker, a better communicator, and overall, I made so many wonderful friends because of it. And I think people who aren't even trying are just missing out on so much life, just missing out.
Can you just share with us some of the worst comments? I mean, keep it clean, but, you know, some of the craziest comments. Okay. Some of the craziest comments you've had.
Oh my God. My God. So Periscope is one that when you get a lot of viewers, you get some really funny comments. But here's the thing. Firstly, let me just say, it's not because it's an app and there's lots of mad people. It's just because the more viewers you get, the chances are some of these people are going to be a bit weird. So firstly, the more if you only get 10 people on your broadcast, you're probably not going to get any troll comments. But if you have 100 or 1,000, the likelihood is you're going to get a few. And if you have even more, like this morning, I had 25,000 on my broadcast, 25,000 live people. Don't you think I had a few weirdos? Absolutely, I did. But, you know, out of 25,000 people, I could have probably had, like, 100 weird comments. If you think of it as a percentage-wise, it's nothing. So here's some of the weird stuff. Like, What it tends to be is if you're a woman and if you're a good-looking woman, you get some people that would comment on your looks. So, here's a funny one that is very clean. The other one I got, someone said to me, "You are so hot." What was it? "You are as hot as the bottom of my laptop."
How do people think that's a compliment?
I don't know. You're as hot as the bottom of my laptop. I was like, what? Are you kidding me? Yeah, you were hot as the bottom of my laptop, was it? Another one I got was, "Your forehead is brighter than my future."
I think that's a compliment somehow.
I know. Well, kind of, but then sometimes they would ask me for, like, they would say, "Show your feet." Like, there's some food fetish people that would sometimes come and be like, "Show your feet." I was like, what? Yeah, there's a lot of food fetish people on the internet, apparently, that I've discovered.
Yeah.
So, and sometimes they can go really rude. But
yeah, no, I've seen some of those rude ones on some of the scopes I've been on with you. Not with me. I don't get any rude ones. If anyone listens to me or watches me on Periscope, you know, I've got to be careful what I wish for. But can someone send me like a rude comment, like "get your top off" or something like that? Because I never get any of them, and it's not fair.
Do you not?
You know, you and Catherine, you're always getting those comments, and I don't get any. So next time someone on Periscope follow me, you know, at Elliot K PTS, and please ask me to take off my top, and then I'll know that I've reached the peak of celebrity online.
Exactly.
So
yeah, this morning was,
because we're coming to the last 8 minutes, you know, something you do very cleverly, and I know we just touched on the comments, and I'm sure there's some really horrible ones, is you're very good at making streams funny and entertaining. So any tips and advice to the listeners on that, how to make your streams funny, entertaining, how to take, like, really nasty comments and turn them into something to be entertaining? Have you got any tips about that?
Well, I would say for me, that is an attitude that I have. It's not really a strategy. It's more of an attitude. So when I go live on Periscope, or even live, I go with the attitude that I shouldn't take myself too seriously. To give you an example, I have an extremely blonde, long hair, and yes, I'm the girl that always tells inappropriate blonde jokes when we're outside, because I think it's just hilarious. I just think it's hilarious. For me, stupid blonde jokes. So I don't take myself too seriously. I have no problem laughing at myself. I have no problem getting myself embarrassed, which I think is a lot of people being stopped by not wanting to be embarrassed or not wanting to look unprofessional. I'm not afraid to look my worst on camera. I'm not afraid to show up my best. So here's the attitude to make your streams very entertaining and funny. Don't take yourself too seriously. Try to be sarcastic at the mean people if you can. So for example, I would really, really try to, some of the comments, the really disgusting ones I block straight away. But some of the ones like "show feet," sometimes I'll be like, "Here's my feet. Right at you. Now go get out my scope," and then people were just laughing at that. So it's having the attitude of, we're here to have fun, we're here to laugh, and we're not going to be Debbie Downers. Be positive and use some jokes. I mean, here's a funny question I've been asked lately. People ask me, "What's your ethnicity?" And I'm like, "I'm from the human race." Or people would ask me, "How old are you?" And I'm 56 years old, and they'd be like, "No way." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm 56. Like, I would just like come up with crazy stuff that they would be like, "No way," and they'd just start laughing. Or if you aren't naturally funny, my advice is create an alter ego that is funny. Create an alter ego or
like Eminem.
Character. It's like, yeah, that is funny, that people would resonate with and enjoy, because I know some people are just not naturally entertaining, which is fine. They're probably great communicators or great motivators. So try to not take yourself too seriously and have some fun on broadcast. And you can check some of my, I mean, Elliot will link all my links, you know, go check out some of my Periscope live stream, Katya. Last night I was dancing off in my room like crazy on Taylor Swift, Shake It Off. People loved it. Got 11,000 people watching me.
And of course, you got a YouTube channel too where you do a lot of vlogging, right? So people can get some real insights. And it's the same, it's live stream Katya, right?
It's the same, it's exactly the same in everywhere. I've been very strategic about choosing a name and using it everywhere.
Great. So I'm going to ask you two questions before we start wrapping up the show. What's your biggest high from all your streaming career? Because I know, like, recently someone proposed to you, who was also a streamer, but she happens to be female. And because I got really excited when I saw the book, and I thought, oh, my gosh, she proposed. But then I actually watched the vlog and realized, it's not quite what I expected. But what's your highest moment as in your career as a streamer and in what you've been doing? What's the highest moment you've had?
I think I can think of three moments that would just really excite me. One is when I was able to hand in my notice, when I looked at my bank account and I realized that, oh my gosh, this thing can just match my banking job. That was like a really high moment for me because
you
never thought it was
possible. You fired your boss. Good job.
I just didn't plan it. It was not planned, and it was just an incredible moment of realization, really. And another great moment was pretty much today when I finished a broadcast and I was like, holy smokes, I just had 25,000 people watch me live on a 90-minute broadcast. So I was basically reaching, 10,000 people per hour? It was crazy. It was absolutely nuts. No, 12,000 people per hour. Some people spend years building a list of 5,000 people, email list. I go on Periscope for 1.5 hours and I reach 25,000 people. That's my record for right now. Maybe in a few months it will be more, but like that was like, whoa, holy smokes, that's incredible.
And what's the last one?
Well, I think I had it, but then did I forget? I think I forgot.
don't worry.
I just had so many. Seriously, I've had so many great moments as a live stream. Oh, another one. That's the one when I had when I got my first brand deal. When I got my first brand deal, was like, oh, brands are recognizing the value of what I do, and they are enjoying my content, and they want to be associated with me. That to me felt very special because anytime a brand is paying me, that means that brand is thinking, I wish this girl was part of our company. But she can be part of our company, but she can be a collaborator with us. You know, that's a special moment to me when I, and I'm like so excited to get more in the future, but that was just very super exciting.
Awesome, well done. I mean, literally, I've watched your journey the last year or so, and it's just been inspiring and phenomenal. And what's really nice is I've seen you stay you know, you haven't changed, you've stayed yourself. So listen, where can people find out more about you, about Peri10K? Do you want to just give a quick 20-second plug to all the different places that people can connect with you and reach out to you?
Of course. So the best place to connect with me on social media, if you are on Snapchat, add me on Snapchat, Livestream Katya, because it's very personal and you can actually message me personally and I respond to every single Snap message I get. Now, if you're not on Snapchat,
messages.
If a creepster, usually what I do with the creepsters, I take screenshots of their stuff and then they get embarrassed, very embarrassed.
Seven
more seconds. Be warned. And on all social media platform, Livestream Katya, come find me on there and join my YouTube blog so that you can actually follow the journey along because I'm documenting everything at Livestream Katya on every single social media platform and you can find me there.
Perfect. And that's been a fantastic end to a fantastic show. Katya, thank you so much for coming on the show. I look forward to inviting you again in a few months. I'll be back in 2 weeks on Strategic Breakthrough Radio with another amazing guest. If you want value, if you want tips, you want quality, be here same time next week on Strategic Breakthrough Radio at 7 o'clock in Greenwich Mean Time or 2 p.m. EST. Thank you very much for tuning in. My name's Elliot Kay. Until the next time, stay strategic, stay focused, stay hungry, and keep on going. Thank you very much and have a good evening.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Awesome, guys. Katya, thank you, my love.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. That-